Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I think this comes at an exciting moment. I think that we are at a moment where T-cell therapies are showing enormous promise, both CAR T-cell therapies and TCR-modified T-cell therapies, but they're not working for most cancers.
That is Alexander Marcin discussing a paper by Edward Stuttmeier, Carl June, and colleagues, and this is Forum. Welcome to Forum, episode 4 of Forum, our podcast where we take papers recently published in Nature Biotechnology or elsewhere and then discuss them with leading researchers in the field. I'm with Marcus Elsner, senior editor at Nature Biotechnology, for this episode. But because of the global pandemic and COVID-19 and social distancing and the shutdown of New York City where I'm based, this is going to be a little piecemeal. The conversation with Marcus and the researchers coming up. But first, let's transition to Marcus and I setting up this paper, okay? Okay. All right, so I've read this paper. This is a science paper.
Yes.
Who's the corresponding author?
So the corresponding authors are Edward Stuttmeier and Carl June from the University of Pennsylvania.
Carl June's a big name in this field.
Oh, absolutely. He's been working on different kinds of immunotherapies for a very long time. That's a track record of taking approaches to the clinic. Yeah, so he's a very big name in the field.
And then what's this paper about?
So this paper is the first clinical data we're getting for CRISPR-Cas edited T cells. So there have been a lot of papers in preclinical models where people have engineered T cells to treat various kinds of tumors. But so far, we've been lacking human data. So this is the first human data that has been reported.
And so what did they do to these cells? What did they knock out? What did they engineer in?
Yeah, so when you engineer those T cells, normally you put in an artificial T cell receptor construct that recognizes an antigen on the surface of the tumor cells. One of the problems or potential problems with that is that the T cells still express their endogenous T cell receptors, or the two chains of the endogenous T cell receptor construct. So there are various problems that can occur, including, for example, mispairing of the endogenous T cell receptor with the T cell receptor genes or proteins that you artificially put in. So to avoid that, they knock out the endogenous T cell receptor genes, both chains of the endogenous T cell receptor. In addition to that, they knock out a protein called PD-1 that is important for the regulation of T cell function. So it will shut down T cells, or lead to T cell exhaustion. And to avoid that, they knock out the endogenous PD-1 gene.
And is there's something else with this paper? Yeah, it's that since this is the first time this has been put in clinical trials, there's been this fear that there might be some innate immunity to Cas9 in humans, but that did not show up here.
Yes, they didn't see any innate immune reactions to the Cas9. One has to say that they put in the Cas9 protein. So presumably, the Cas9 protein is actually not present anymore by the time they inject the cells into the patients. It's not. That's in contrast to expressing the gene or the Cas9 gene from DNA constructs or from mRNA. But they didn't see any immune reactions to any residual Cas9 that could be present, which is comforting. Yeah,
that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, of course that doesn't mean that if we deliver the Cas9 in a different way that we won't see immune reactions if there are substantial amounts of Cas9 around.
Yeah,
we just don't know yet.
So who are you talking with?
I'm talking to Alex Marson from the University of California in San Francisco.
Okay, so this is what's the title of this paper?
It's CRISPR engineered T cells in patients with refractory cancer.
All right, and that was published in Science at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
We will link to that paper in the show notes. That's it. Off you go.
So, Alex, I think the first question I would like to ask is what do you like about the paper?
Let me first frame what's exciting. I think that this is something that now we have really clear proof that CRISPR-modified cells have gone into humans and have persisted. They don't get immediately cleared. They can stick around for long periods of time. So that is the strength of this paper. Mm-hmm. Now, I think one thing that's clear is that, you know, and the authors highlight this, that the methods that were used for these gene modifications were really locked in place as far back, it sounds like, as 2016. Mm-hmm. And so the efficiencies in this paper are probably not the maximal of what can are not the maximal of what can be now achieved in 2020. So the efficiencies are probably not state of the art. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, they are meaningful. There are cells that are edited, and it does appear that even some cells that get a combination of both the T cell receptor transgene as well as triple knockout of all three genes that are trying to be deleted. Of course, there's lots of different combinations of cells that will have subsets of each of those genetic modifications, and those are quite frequent. So the authors have tried to at least start to piece together the behavior of cells with different combinations of these genetic modifications. This was an ambitious project of really making many, many modifications at once, right? Mm-hmm. So three different gene deletions plus a gene addition of TCR alpha and beta. So there's a lot of combinations of what can happen. Mm-hmm. I think in some ways the team seemed to really push the limits of what was conceivable to lay the groundwork for future multiplexing efforts. The downside is that there is certainly a lot of complexity in the cell products that went into these patients, and probably still some further work to tease out exactly the behavior of cells with each different possible gene editing consequence.
With today's technology, what kind of editing efficiencies could we expect in T cells? I think here they see between, depending on the gene, between 15% and 45% editing efficiency. How far have you pushed it in the meantime?
Yeah, I think we and many others are now seeing that for our best guide RNAs, after optimization, we're not surprised if we can get up to 90 to 100% mm-hmm. deletion of a gene product. So I think that the field has come to expect even higher, I mean, remarkably high levels of gene efficiency for genes that are optimized.
And that is also after RNP delivery?
Yeah. RNP delivery, which is what the authors use here. So
yeah.
To be clear, this is electroporating in recombinant Cas9 protein with a guide RNA. The guide RNA production is another thing that's been further optimized beyond the methods, and now there's a bunch of chemically synthesized guide RNAs that are available that seem to have potential benefits over the guide RNAs synthesis. My understanding is that these guide RNAs were in vitro transcribed, and so I think that there's continues to be further optimizations around the manufacturing and delivery of these RMPs. It's something we and others are continuing to work on to make these more efficient and better tolerated by the cells that are the target.
I think one other thing that people tend to be worried about with CRISPR-based or Cas9-based therapies is potential immunogenicity of the bacterial Cas9 protein. Did that turn out to be a problem here?
No, I think that that's one of the things that's really worth noticing in this paper. The biggest concern was that these cells wouldn't persist, that the immune system would recognize them as foreign and clear them. And if anything, that seems like it doesn't seem to be the case, and perhaps these cells even lasted longer than some historical controls. The reason for that, I think, is still a little bit obscure. But the key takeaway that I think I note, and I think the field will take broad notice of, is that CRISPR-modified T cells persisted for months in human patients, and that really is strong evidence that they're not that CRISPR itself does not lead to immediate immune rejection. People have noticed that Cas9 itself can be the target of pre-existing immunity, either with antibodies or with T cells, humoral or cell-based immunity. And although the authors do note that these patients did seem to have some evidence for pre-existing immunity against Cas9, it seems like the key point is that by the time the cells are reinfused back into patients, Cas9 is basically undetectable by the methods that the authors use, and it seems functionally undetectable by the immune system, does not lead to immune clearance immediately. So this really sets the stage for thinking that Cas9 will not be strongly immunogenic if it's delivered in this ex vivo format with RNPs, with the idea that the protein is gone by the time that the cells go back in. So that's an important thing to highlight, that is really this particular mode of delivery seems to deliver the Cas9 in a way that's effective for gene editing, but does not set the cells up for immune rejection. And I think that will be something that's highly cited as future applications move towards clinical trials.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I mean, that might be really different if you deliver Cas9 as mRNA or as a DNA-based vector, I guess. I think we will still need to wait for clinical data on that.
Marcus, I completely agree with you. I think that this needs to be seen very much in the mode of, you know, this tells us something about how Cas9 avoids detection in this particular mode of delivery, and I think that will need to be evaluated for each application. But there's a lot that can be done in human T cells with RNPs, and I think that this opens the door to future applications.
Another thing that is frequently mentioned as a potential pitfall in the application of genome editing in patients are off-target effects. So what do the authors observe in terms of off-target effects in this paper?
This is a really interesting part of this paper. Here, the authors do notice various unintended gene editing consequences, and those come in at least two different flavors. One is the off-targets, and the second is the translocations. So looking at them each in separately, first, in terms of off-targets, the authors notice that predominantly there is a high degree of specificity, but it's not perfect. And there are some off-targets that are noticed, including potentially some genes that are not expressed in T cells. And the authors notice them and basically argue that some small amount of off-targets won't inherently cause dysfunction of the cells or pathological effects. And so the off-targets are noted, minimized, but not brought down to zero, and the cells functionally didn't seem to persist and not be toxic in the patients. So that's I think in some ways will set the standard for carefully assessing off targets and looking at that in the context of a greater risk benefit analysis. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that's striking, and this is I think not totally surprising, but you know the authors are generating a complex cell product here. I think that. And they're introducing multiple double-stranded breaks in these cells at the same time. So there's three different guide RNAs. In fact, one of the guide RNAs, this is a little bit of a subtlety, that the one that recognizes the beta component of the TCR, TCR-beta, actually cuts in two places in the genome because there's TCR-beta-1 and TCR-beta-2 that are near each other. And so there's actually at least four on-target sites of the genome that are being cut. And it's not totally surprising that when you have multiple double-stranded breaks in the genome, the cells will have various combinations of how those breaks are repaired, including local non-homologous end joining, but also end joining of all the various double-stranded breaks that leads to translocation. Mm-hmm. And so that can happen in a variety of different combinations, causing translocations between the on-targets and also potentially translocations with off-targets is something that could happen. So all of that is monitored and again, even with the translocations, the risk benefit was thought that it was reasonable to try to treat these refractory cancer cases. I think that this is something that will need to be carefully considered on a patient-by-patient and trial-by-trial basis of where the risks of each type of translocation will fall relative to the potential benefits to patients.
Just to be clear, none of the translocations that they observed lead to any outgrowth of specific cell clones. I mean, in fact, I think they disappear over time, right? Or they at least reduce the percentage.
They either persist or reduce and don't seem to cause a functional outgrowth. And I think that's an important point, that many translocations will just be toxic to the cells and cause them to die off and actually be selected against. Mm-hmm. Of course, the ones we're worried about are the ones that don't do that. And I think that just needs to be carefully watched on a case-by-case basis, depending on where we're introducing double-stranded breaks. But I think that, you know, this definitely points out that translocations then inherently don't necessarily cause problems. It's the specifics of which translocations would form, and that will need to be watched.
One potential safety feature that researchers have suggested could be incorporated in those engineered T cells are things like suicide genes, that if something goes wrong, you see outgrowth or activity against non-cancerous tissues, that you could kill the T cell population that you have entered. Do you think that's something that will gain traction in the T cell therapy field, or is that just adds another, or does that just add another complication that might not be worthwhile adding?
I think it will, and I think that especially as we as a field push towards more and more complicated edits that we want to put into cells, I think it's something that we will all be thinking about how do we balance that against the opportunity to put in safety switches. Now, there's complexities to it. Suicide switches require a gene addition. And so that could either be done with viral transgene or potentially knocking something in. That requires some further technological features. So, for example, here, only if about 5 to 10% of these cells actually get a transgene, the NY-ESO-TCR. So there will be many genes that could potentially have in CRISPR knockouts without the viral gene addition. And so if the suicide switch were put in through the transgene, it wouldn't necessarily guarantee that every CRISPR knockout cell has that suicide switch. So we have to think about how suicide switches can be put in to really maximize the number of gene-modified cells that have that suicide switch. And that requires some ongoing engineering and I think tools that are coming out, including some of the things that we're working on improved ability to use CRISPR to not only knock out genes but knock in genes, may open up the possibility for more sophisticated safety switches built into the cell products that are engineered.
One last thing I would like to discuss is efficacy.
Yeah.
So how did the patients benefit in this case, and how can we expect maybe the field to progress upon what has been achieved in this paper?
Cannot be overstated how important it is to interpret this in the context of being a phase one trial.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We really can't say anything about efficacy. Mm-hmm. This trial, the point of this was really to show safety. Mm-hmm. And I think that although the efficiencies were low and the safety will need to still be evaluated as efficiencies go higher and with new technologies, I think that this clearly is a point in favor of safety, that CRISPR cells can be safe in the right context. Efficacy, I think we need to really be careful. We do not have any kind of statistics to say anything about efficacy.
Yeah.
And it's clear that we still see progression even in the presence of these products. So it's not a silver bullet, and further work needs to be done. And I think every component of this is now potentially modular. Right, I think that now we have to think about, well, what are the either T cell receptors or CARs that are going to be the best for antigen recognition? Maybe NY-ESO is not the right T cell receptor. Maybe it's, you know, it was really chosen for its potential safety and to minimize the risk of cytokine release syndrome that's been seen more with CAR therapies. So will safety continue to be the same as we move to more effective antigens? We don't know, but those trials will need to be done. And also we'll need to think about, you know, so what's the right antigen specificity and what are the right genes to knock out? Is PD-1 ultimately going to be the right target, or can we think about other things that would actually be even more important to drive long-term persistence, trafficking, and function of T cells with anti-cancer activity? So I think that there's a lot of work to be done to figure out where the efficacy will lie. But I think that this is, again, the landmark nature of this trial comes from what it teaches us about the safety of this particular cell therapy product and opens the door to future CRISPR-modified cell products. I think this comes at an exciting moment. I think that we are at a moment where T-cell therapies are showing enormous promise, both CAR T-cell therapies and TCR-modified T-cell therapies, but they're not working for most cancers. And so I think many of us in the field are really actively looking for ways to make these T-cell therapies better, and this trial opens the door to really having a powerful ally in the form of CRISPR mm-hmm. to work with us and think about how we can make genome modifications that will make T-cell therapies better for cancer and eventually for other types of human diseases as well.
Yeah, then thank you very much. I think that's all the questions I had.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Alexander Marcin, for your help in putting together episode 4 of Forum. The paper is published in Science. I have linked to that in our show notes. Click on that link and it'll take you to the paper in Science. This podcast, Forum, you can subscribe to it wherever you find your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever. Search the terms Nature Biotech and Forum and you'll find us. Thank you to the Midwest Quiet for use of your music in this podcast. Also, we use it in First Rounders. We've been using it in First Rounders for many, many years. If you'd like to discuss this podcast, if you'd like to discuss First Rounders, if you'd like to discuss Nature Biotechnology or anything that we do, you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is @NatureBiotech. You can follow us there. And yeah, episode 5 of Forum, I'm working on it now, actually. That's coming soon. Until then.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.